Okay.
I am running.
Welcome.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. Welcome to Time to Recover. The workshop is in the nick of time. I am delighted to introduce our speaker, Ronnie. A warm welcome to you. At this point, you may begin. Thank you, Ronnie.
Thanks. I'm Ronnie. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm grateful to be here. I hope that I say one thing that might help another person, and that's the reason I do this. And I stay focused on that as much as possible. But I always get nervous. It doesn't matter how long I've been around, and it's been quite a while. When I first came in, just quickly, I was probably one of the younger people in the room. And now I've been around a while, so I'm probably the age of the people I was talking to that had kids who said to me, "Oh, I hope, like, I think my kid might have a problem, my daughter, maybe they'll find their way too, but it's God's will." And I thought, wow, that's interesting. And I'm just really grateful to have been around for a while and have some recovery. I'm like half the weight I am now. I was. I've given away a lot of weight. I've gained and lost hundreds of pounds. I didn't realize my addiction to food would lead to this level, and it did. I started off probably 10 pounds overweight. I was a normal weight for a long time, and I forgot that. And then I started to gain weight. And I'm half Italian, and that was kind of always the joke. It's because I'm Italian, you know. But it wasn't really. It was that I liked food, and I used food to deal with my life. Just the insanity of this disease that it could approach those levels, that physically I'd be so impaired by the weight and I would continue to gain it, you know. And I just, this program has saved my life. It really has. Physically had so much going on. And what may have seemed dark, you know, the dark past and, you know, all the addiction and what that brought is actually the light, because the light is that in sharing my story, my experience, strength, and hope, people have told me that it's helped them. So I continue to do it even though I get nervous. And I keep on thinking the insanity of thinking that I'm going to feel better if I continue to do this and I'm not going to get nervous. This is who I am. I accept it, right? OA and AA says, like, if we can share our experience and help another person, then I feel like that's my duty, you know? And it's a pleasure to do that duty because I have a purpose. You know, I always wanted to help other people. I walked around as a little kid trying to find ways to help other people. And I still do that, but this experience and having no control over food and my life being unmanageable and the physical, emotional, and spiritual toll that took on me, everything that's happened, working these steps, you know, living the program, living the tools, incorporating this in ways in my life, reaching out to others, giving service is amazing. And it's given me a purpose that I wouldn't have had it not been for this. Do I still kind of wish I hadn't gone to such extremes? Honestly, yeah. You know, would it have been nice if it was 20 or 40 pounds? Probably. It's not, that's not my story. Maybe because it's such great numbers, you know, that helps other people too. Because if I can do this, you can do this. Anyone can do this. It's just putting one foot in front of the other and following direction. And when things get difficult, not giving up. And sometimes that's an asset. Sometimes that's a liability because I'll keep going. I'm like that Energizer bunny. I could be in bad shape and I just keep on going. And it was the same with the food. If it weren't the same with the food, I would have just been 5 pounds overweight, but because I was trying to fill some spiritual hole, you know, I just kept on putting the food in, even though I knew it was detrimental to my health on so many levels. And I had people begging me, you know, so I just am so glad. You know, I come from a family where, I mean, I think they had food issues. I've got a lot of diabetics in my family. I've had some alcoholics in my family. You know, I've had both. You know, I see other people that, you know, not necessarily family, but friends and could be family, whatever, that may be affected by this. And all I can do is be an example. My life is pretty much an open book. And most people know what I do. Do my coworkers know? Probably not. Some do. They think I'm a little crazy when I'm working. Like, she doesn't eat this stuff. I don't get it. You know, there was a time when we were having mass layoffs at work. And one day everyone was going for the little bowl in someone's office with stuff in it. And she called me because everyone but me and her were in the bowl, right? And she said, "Do you notice something?" I said, "Yeah." And she said, "What is that?" I said, "Everyone's trying to make themselves feel better with a substance." And she goes, "Except you and me." I said, "Yeah, you know, today I'm not doing that." And we were laughing because she knew. I was in OA. She knew it. And I was just so grateful because in that same employment, I had two people approach me and 12-step me. I mean, because they saw me gain weight, they were concerned about me. And what a gift that was. It was scary as heck. You know, did I probably like it? No, but I had already made a decision to come back. And that was the first day of this abstinence. I've been abstinent 17 years and change. It was October 6th or 7th of 2006. And I just am so grateful because I never was sure that it was possible. I had hoped that it was, but just a day at a time to be able to do this through a lot of physical stuff, being in hospitals and being, you know, and I just, again, hope that if I share this with any one person, they might say, okay, you know, I'm struggling, or, you know, I was questioning whether I was going to eat later, but because I was on that retreat, I feel better. You know, like that story helped, you know, that share helped. And I get that from other people all the time. And I've gotten that for years. So if I can just give a little bit of that back, what a gift. I mean, I have a big book here. I have so many OA 12-step books. I mean, they fall apart. My For Today's fall apart. This is a third edition. And I have a fourth edition. I have a hard-covered A big book. I have my uncle's. He's got one of the little readers, the daily readers that I have, and he's passed and he was in program. So I'm grateful to have that. I have one of my aunt's little daily readers because she did some program work. And I think if I hadn't had that example, maybe it might have been a little more difficult to kind of hop in here. But I just hope a day at a time, I feel like I can continue to do this, because if I don't, I've left. You know, the insanity of my disease is that I was slipping and sliding. I'd lost my abstinence and I just decided it became painful enough to leave. And that was my biggest mistake, I think, is that maybe that was my story to come back, gaining back over 100 pounds, more than 100 pounds. To do that twice, that's the disease. That's the level of the disease with me. And I just continue to hope that by sharing my story and talking about it and listening to everyone else, that tomorrow I won't do anything different. You know, today I definitely hopefully won't, you know, but if I feel kind of like the draw to it, I call someone. I pick up this book. I pick up the OA 12 and 12. I pick up the AA 12 and 12. I have it's so fortunate that we have the phones that we can just, I download pro, like I have the For Today, I have the Food for Thought, which maybe isn't an OA one, I apologize. I have so many things that I can access today and I can just call people. On a holiday, I get calls because people are maybe struggling or they just want to connect. As I walk out, I hear some of my family sometimes say someone must be having a hard time. You know, and I'm so grateful for that. Or maybe someone just wants to check in. I've heard that too. And that my family knows this and that they help me, you know, that they have what I need, that I go other places and my friends have what I need. If we're having a meal or we're going somewhere, it's a gift. It's really a gift of this program. So I think I am going to stop, and I probably am early because I'd much rather hear you. And if you have any questions, I guess I'm here.
Okay, Michael, anytime you're ready.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm a compulsive reader. My name is Michael. I had an hour and a half prepared, but I understand it's only 12 minutes, so I'll keep it short. Keep it short. In my lifetime, back many, many years ago, I had approached 276 pounds and on my way to 300 pounds, and doing a lot of damage to myself, and not only to myself, but others. But you know, they talk about a nick at a time. Perhaps it was a nick at a time when a good dear AA friend of mine, and I ended up in that fellowship too, but that's another story. A good AA friend of mine suggested, you know, you might want to try Overeaters Anonymous. And we did. Our journey in Overeaters Anonymous began in January of 1980. And the thing is that I didn't catch the entirety of the program, the depth of the program, which speaks to the fact that there's a whole lot of we in the I, because if it was left up to me, I wouldn't be doing any of this. It's we doing for me that which I could never do for myself. But we have been abstinent, and abstinence is the most important thing in my life today, and we're doing what is necessary to keep the gift. Well, we have been abstinent since May 5th of 1982, traveling this journey one day at a time. It's largely because of this design for living that I discovered in OA. Steps 1, 2, and 3 were the give up steps. I had a lot to give up, my powerlessness over food, and my life had become unmanageable. So we had those give up steps. Steps 4, 5, and 6, they were the cleanup steps. I had a lot of my past that needed to be rectified, a lot of things I had done, a lot of misdeeds that I'd carried around that I'd eaten over. It's not so much what I was eating, it's why I was eating. I mean, I was eating plenty, but uncontrollably at times. But it was what was causing me to eat, what was driving me to eat. Steps 8, 7, 8, 9, they were the... And this didn't happen as quickly as I'm sharing it with you, but steps 8, 7, 8, and 9, they were the makeup steps. There was a lot of rectifying I needed to do, a lot of, I remember being told, Michael, when you make your amends, when you go back and talk about amends, don't say you're sorry. You've been saying you're sorry all your life. Go back and apologize and ask for forgiveness. Now, naturally, you would like that forgiveness. You may or may not get it. For the most part, I did. There was a couple kind of questionable, but it was to go back and ask for forgiveness and then apologize. And also, the thing is, see, here's the thing, too. When I went back to make those amends, I didn't go back alone. I had God. I had this fellowship to go back with me, because you know when we lived at step 3, turn our will and life over to care of God, or made a decision to turn our will and life over to care of God. When I did that, my life was out of my hands. It was in His hands. So we did that. It was very helpful to make these amends, and certainly there was restitution, there's responsibility, there was things that I. That I had to try to make right. I've made some of it right. Maybe I probably have some more to do. Steps 11, 10, 11, and 12, they're the keep upstairs. There are the steps that we continue on a daily basis to keep up, keep the gift of abstinence. One of the things that as the result of this design for living, it not only allowed me the opportunity to treat the physical symptom of the disease of alcoholism, compulsive eating, but also allowed me an opportunity to address the emotional problems. I didn't come here for that. I just came here to lose weight. But I was tapped on the shoulder as we went along. Hey, there's just a little bit more to this. So we had the opportunity to address the physical symptom, the emotional problems, which was the big challenge. But as a result of that, the ability or the opening to an evolving relationship with God. And from my experiences, this 12-step journey has nothing to do with going out here. It all is about going within, deep within. And so we touched about that nick of time, but you're talking about the past. I just ran across this. I'm going to just share this with you. Kind of summarizes it. No longer is my past an autobiography. It's a reference book to be taken down, open, and shared, as was earlier shared. Today, as I report for duty, as I report for life, the most wonderful picture comes through. Although the day may be dark, as some days must be, the stars will shine even brighter later. My witness that they do shine will be called in for a very, will be called to share. You see, sometimes we don't want to talk about our past because nobody could be as bad as we were. Nobody could have done as what we did. But until we, the best recovery is two compulsive readers talking to one another, and that past, but we shed light on it. And we live through it, and that past got us to pretty much to this program. And it's a major burden, but what happens is that as a result of living this program, we're able to set down some of that baggage that we've been carrying, that was pretty tiring, and we ate over it, it ate us. The tools have been very instrumental as far as the journey I've been living, or we've been living. A plan of eating. We have a plan of eating. See, abstinence is the most important thing in my life. I'm either abstinent or I'm not. There's no in between. What may be subject to change is a plan of eating. My plan of eating is 3 moderate meals a day, nothing in between. Now, the ingredients can change. Sponsorship. I've been sponsored. I do sponsor. It's been very, very helpful to work with one another. Meetings. Well, we're at one today. 2 times to go to meetings. 1 when you want to, and 2 when you don't want to. So that covers the meetings. Telephone. It's good to. At least I found part during the course of the day. I'm making 2 or 3 calls a day, most every day, maybe 1. Oh, and I'll tell you, as a suggestion, if you leave a message, that counts. If you leave a voicemail, that counts. That does count. Writing, earlier today, I wrote a letter to a friend. Writing is an excellent way to keep in touch. Just dropping in on folks, on friends, whether they be program or not. But it's just, I used to write, years ago, I used to write 5-6 letters a day. I write a couple, maybe 3 or 4 a week now, or send cards. And it all helps keep that gift of abstinence. It all helps to keep that disease at bay. It keeps the symptom treated, and it continues to work on the emotional problem, which is an ongoing thing. And that evolving relationship with God, that's the winner. That's the winter literature. I do readings. I'm reading, do certain things every morning. Read certainly OA materials and Well, I do read AA materials, but look at the Bible and so forth, but that's what I've done. But you know, the program is Design for Living has afforded me the opportunity, the healthy opportunity. I know this program has, you know, just saved my life and has added years to my life. We've been abstinent about a little more than half years of my life. So, but it's allowed me I didn't lose weight, because if you lose it, you're going to find it, or it's going to find you. What we've had as a result of this program and the fellowship and the support, and we have 100 pounds plus or minus of a weight release. And it's brought some emotional balance to my life. Thank you. And I do need that. And I don't, this is not done perfectly. We just strive for progress. You know, I do want to share quite a long time about the past. A banker friend of mine who was in the program, he said, you know, Michael, yesterday is like a canceled check. We spent the money. We can't re-spend it. However, you know, we can learn from it, maybe spend our money better. Tomorrow is like a promissory note. We might not even be around to collect on it. Today is cash in hand. Today is the cash that we have to spend, and we have life. And it's not so much, you know, we often hear one day at a time, and I still use that, one day at a time. You know, it's not so much one day at a time. It's what we do right now. It's what we do right now. This is what I'm finding. And again, that's that. You know, the other thing too is, you know, what makes this so exciting. And you pick these things up. And see, the thing is, we do these things together. Alone, we didn't do. At least I didn't do very well. But we do it together. It's we doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. But and we're promised recovery. We are promised recovery. And each day, I find myself, and maybe you do too, doing whatever is needed to be done to keep that gift of absence. And you know, the more we share, the more we give back, the more that comes our way. The more that comes our way. This program has never failed me. Never will. Never will. If anybody comes up short, I'll come up short. And what I share with people that might have gone out and come back or newcomers, what I'll share was, you know, if we keep coming back, if we stick around, one or two things are going to happen. One, we get the program, or two, the program gets us. We win either way. We win either way. So in the nick of time, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for to be able to put this past to use. I've been in fifth step. You know, exchanges. You know, where people, you know, reluctant to share their past and so forth. And maybe you've done the same thing. I'll just say, well, here's two or three things they did, or two or three things that caused me problems. And that kind of opens the door to talk about the past. And, you know, the thing is that we feel guilty or shameful, you know. Guilt is that we made a mistake. Shame is that we are a mistake, and God doesn't make mistakes. So I really appreciate being here today, and I'm gonna maybe I'll just end in the nick of the time. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you so much. We can stop the recording now.